Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess.
Hey, hosted by Duchess. Nobody else but me. How you doing today? Oh, my gosh. It's been really, really, really cold. I'm taking in this little bit of chilly weather. Some people are having a grand time with it. I'm not. My fingertips are freezing. I really don't want to turn on the heat in the studio. But what can I say? When I turn on the heat above 75, then it's too warm. So I don't know. I just don't know. I guess we'll just have to look forward to the cold weather and not get too stressed out about it. That's the story of my life, because I just don't deal well with the shortened days, and it's going to be darker soon, and I guess in a couple of weeks we're going to be changing the clocks and turning them back, and that means it's going to be dark at this time in a couple of weeks, and I'm going back to work tomorrow, so I'll be leaving at 5 o'clock in the evening to go to work, and it's going to be nighttime. So it's like going out of the house in the middle of the night to go to work, and everybody else is coming home in the middle of the night from work. But I've been doing it for a long time. I just haven't done it over the last 6 months, but that's okay. That's okay. So congratulations is due to my mama. She made history by being on the front page of the Muslim Journal. That's a national newspaper magazine for the Muslims of America. And her picture is there, and talking about her life and how she became a Muslim. And it's a beautiful thing to see her. She deserves every single minute of the notoriety that she's getting. She's a wonderful human being, and she's done a lot for her masjid and for Islam as a whole. And we all know that Mother prays for us all, and she keeps us near and dear in her heart, and she is a Muslim that prays 5 times a day. So in honor of her, I'm going to open up this show with one of her daily prayers. We're going to do it in Arabic, and then I'll do it in English for those of you who don't understand or aren't familiar with the Arabic language. This is a prayer that my mother, I know, does every day, 5 times a day. She bows in prostration to her Creator. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. Sirata al-ladina an'amta alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. I seek refuge in our Creator, in God, from the accursed Satan. They all are the beneficent, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath and who go not astray. Alhamdulillah. So, once again, congratulations, Mir Islam, for making it on the front page of your Muslim Journal. Okay, everyone, now that we've opened up the show with blessings, why don't we revisit last show, where we were talking about, what's her name, Lena Stevens, and taking inventory. We were taking our inventory, our personal inventory, and we were digging deeper and deeper into certain patterns and imbalances we had in our lives and in our relationships. And we spoke about the courage that it took for us to do that. When you start doing that searching and fearless moral inventory of oneself, it takes a lot of courage for you to be able to open up and admit to yourself your wrongs, to admit to your creator, another human being, and to yourself the exact nature of your own personal wrongs, because we're not angels. We may be think we're human beings seeking a spiritual experience, but in reality, we are spiritual beings having human experiences. So when we start taking that fearless and searching moral inventory of ourselves, what we're beginning to do is clean house, so that that spiritual being that's been overshadowed by those human experiences that we've piled on top of every single emotion and aspect and twist and turn that we've had in our lives, when we start erasing all that stuff and taking stock of who we are and what we have done and the wrongs we have done, and we start cleaning our side of the street and not so much looking at somebody else's side of the street, when we start cleaning the debris off of our side of the street, now we begin to have that light, that true light of our spiritualness shine through. So this evening, I want to share with you a couple of articles that I came across, and one article was talking about the different stages one encounters or realizes as they are approaching their spiritual awakening. Because we're living in a day and time now where everything is so clouded and it seems so distant and shady and dirty and muck and just so ugly that we have a hard time seeing that the earth and its individuals having their spiritual experiences are waking up. So how do you know that you're waking up? How do you know that you're waking up? And then what we want to do is, once you realize certain aspects of the things you're experiencing in your impending awakening, at what stage or level of that awakening have you attained? So, you know, there has been many an interesting shift in the earth, and these shifts have everyone feeling a similar way. It's almost as if a great force of nature has lifted and a guise that has been blinding all of humanity for centuries until now. You see, it looks like it's getting uglier, but what's really happening is the ugly has always been there. It's just been hidden. So it's not getting uglier. We're just beginning to wake up and see it more and more. Until enough of us reach that critical mass, then nothing is going to change. So there is an awakening happening. And once we reach critical mass, you will automatically see stuff unfold for you. But there's not enough of us awake yet. But it's time we recognized our fullest potential and claim what is rightfully ours as spiritual beings, having that human experience. Do you suspect that you are experiencing a growth of spirit and consciousness? It can be hard to diagnose something so subtle and personal. It's such a subtle, personal thing. There are some key indicators to your personal development. So why don't we try and mosey on through some of those key personal developments? How about extreme dreams lately? Have you had extreme dreams? As a matter of fact, I've been having them like crazy. If you have begun to experience insane, vivid dreams that you don't quite understand but feel a sense of peace from them, this could be a big indication you're experiencing a spiritual awakening, your beginning. These dreams could be signs that you are finding a profound insight into the world around you, seeming complicated but meaningful at the same time. Example, I had a dream just the other day. And in this dream, I saw myself, because I go to the pool now 3 days a week. And there's this lady there who has arthritis in her shoulders. And I have the utmost compassion for her because she can't lift her arm straight up. You know, she's just, but she works herself. She works those arms and things in that water, but she has arthritis in the shoulders. And in this dream, I was in the pool, and I was with her and the other women in the pool, and all of a sudden, I saw this beautiful yellow-like light streaming from my hands. And in this dream, I knew that this was some healing energy that was emitting from my hands. And when I woke up, I was like, wow. In the dream, I had put my hands on her back, and it seemed to ease and soothe her pain. So I decided to tell her about my dream when I went to the pool the next time, and I asked her to turn around and let me see if I could. And so what I did was I gently massaged her shoulders and her shoulder blades because, you know, that feels good whether it's you doing it to somebody else or them doing it to you. So she didn't mind, and, you know, all she did was thank me. But in this dream, I evidently felt that I had something about my hands that she needed me to assist her by using that energy from myself. And thank goodness she didn't think I was crazy. Now, how about feeling a new spark for living? If you suddenly felt a new fire igniting inside you just for a new way of living, then this means you are ready for a spiritual awakening. I spoke to someone earlier today, and she's ready for this new spark of living in her life, but she is so tired. She said, I am so tired, but I'm selling my furniture and I'm getting rid of things because I just want to get out of here. And I had not intended for my birthday, which is on the 29th of this month, to find me still in the state of Virginia. And I told her, sometimes spirit wants us to rest because there's something fantastic we're getting ready to have happen to us unfold in front of us. And she's headed to another state, and she's doing what she needs to do. But at the same time, spirit is telling her to rest up in between these spurts of wanting to do things so rapid fire. The other thing you may experience is having no fear. You know, fear is one of the most crippling feelings that we can muster within ourselves. If you have begun to feel as if all your fears have melted away, then you are on the right path to a spiritual awakening. You know, you have these fears, and once in a while, you just have to turn them over. The world is filled with adversity, but this does not mean you have to despair so easily. Facing your fears will teach you many things about yourself and a lot more about the others around you. Now, those toxic relationships, they start to break apart. Once you have felt this shift within yourself, you will begin to see that people who are unworthy of your presence are weeding themselves out from your path of spiritual enlightenment. It is important that you know it is okay for these people to fall from your radar. There will be new people who share the same views, beliefs, and joys in life as you do. Even if you feel scared of losing some of those people, just remember that you must keep moving forward and not dwell. Please, don't dwell on the past. You respect yourself and your time enough to draw the line with unacceptable behavior. You aren't willing to endure the effects of toxic or unproductive people. Just let them go. Okay? Just let them go. Bye-bye, because they can drag you down, and they can sap your qualities. It can be hard to remove these people if you care for them. But if they aren't willing to drink, no amount of effort will get them to drink. I'm not talking about booze either. You're trying to give them a drink of spiritual growth, and they just don't want to take a sip. Okay? Let them go. How about sudden urges to meditate? Now, you may not even be aware that you've had a sudden urge to meditate. You may all of a sudden just find yourself sitting in a spot, gazing off into what you think is nothingness, but you have just had a mindful meditation, whether you know it or not. So once you have begun to feel the major shift in yourself, you may also begin to feel the urge to start meditating. Meditating is a very useful practice for one to contemplate their emotions, drown out all the surrounding noises, looking inward and reflecting on our personal lives as to how we can better ourselves as well as the entire world. Now, some of the folks on my mailing list, I was able to send them Deepak Chopra's 21-day meditation. If you send me an email to UME, that's the letter UME 777 at AOL.com, I'll be happy to send you the free link for you to get a meditation every single day for 21 days. This will begin on the 29th of October. I found these meditations to be wonderful, wonderful and rewarding. Okay, have you started receiving or feeling an overwhelming sensation of love? There will be extreme bursts of self-love and love for the world around you once you have begun to feel the spiritual awakening within yourself. You will begin to see the world in all of its beauty, not only in people, but nature as well, you know. And if you want to relish in this beauty, sometimes we have to turn off the everyday programs that come on TV. We need to protect ourselves from that because sometimes they can be very negative. I know people just blew people's minds when I told them that the first two seasons of the show Empire, I watched faithfully. I mean, I used to binge watch them when I had to work and I missed them. I mean, I would watch, and then it dawned on me. These people are so mean and cruel and nasty to one another. My mind could not get past that. After a while, I got tired of seeing them want to harm each other, sneak behind each other's back, you know, do all kinds of weird, crazy things. So I just turned it off. I don't watch it anymore. And some people just look at me and want to know, you mean to tell me you don't watch that? Or what about How to Solve a Murder? And, you know, those kinds of shows, they just, no. Not when people are trying to destroy one another and do cruel things. I'm not into that, you know. So you will begin to see the world in all its beauty, not only in people, but nature itself. A good way to express or explore these new feelings of love is by going for a hike, you know. And if you don't want to go for a hike, just go for a walk around the block. That helps. You know, you do some mindfulness thinking, mindfulness meditation. Remember, I used to get up and go for a walk, and I used to look up in the trees, and I used to, especially in the fall, you can count the birds' nests up in the trees. It's amazing. You know, they got condos up there in those trees. The birds just, and all of a sudden you just see all the homes resting up in on the branches. And I used to walk around counting how many I would see. Great stuff to do. So, how about improved diet and sleep habits? Oh, this is one that all of us could probably experience, especially if we're having that spiritual awakening. You know, you find yourself taking the time to rest and eat better. you notice the needs of your body and take them more seriously. This may not look, well, it may not look like you're doing this for 8 straight hours, but we take naps during the day. It doesn't matter how you're getting your rest, only that you're getting enough and timing it so you don't blow the rest of your day and the rest of your experience. Now, I found this one book that I really love, and it talks about staying fit, eating to be fit. And I love this book because I try my best not to consume anything but water after 8 p.m. They say we shouldn't eat anything after 6 p.m. I push it to 8 p.m. because I do work in the evening, you know. And then they want to buy pizzas and stuff at my job at 6 o'clock in the evening for the drivers. So, you know, I might want a piece of pizza. But I try not to eat after 8 p.m. And in this book it says that from the hours of 12 p.m. to 8 p.m., that is your appropriation period. That's when you can eat. Just eat, 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 you know? And then in this book it says from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m., that's our body's assimilation period. So that's when your body is taking in all the nutrition it needs from all of the food that you've eaten between 12 p.m. and 8 p.m. Now it's the assimilation, and it's putting it into your cells, and it's taking its nutrients out. Once that's done, okay, from 4 a.m. in the morning before you open your eyes to 12 p.m. noon, that's your body's elimination period. Now, they're saying don't put anything except maybe some fruit between 4 a.m. and 12 noon. If you just have to have something, let it be fruit because the body absorbs that faster than anything else. It just sucks it in. And you'll find that you will definitely be eliminating on a regular basis if you follow this kind of schedule. Okay, how about synchronicity? Okay, we're awakening now. We're having these symptoms of awakening. And we got a couple of more. And then we're going to talk about the different levels of the awakened state and find out what level you are. The synchronicity is a pretty strange experience. It's the experience of meaningful related events that are unlikely to be mere coincidence. These experiences tend to guide us toward a path, but sometimes they simply remind us that we're already on the right path. Oh, I had an experience one time. I had just lost a friend. And she used to communicate to me, or she used to tell me all the time when she was alive. She used to say, I know you were going to call me because I wanted you to call me, and so I just sent you a message for you to call me, so I knew you was going to call me. And so she was really funny about that. Well, after she had transitioned, I was sitting in, because I believed her, because she was right, I was sitting in my house. And you know how you catch something out the side of your eye, the corner of your eye, some little wispy something that just did something and struck, but it wasn't anything there. So I started talking to her, and I said, okay, that's it. I'm not having it. Don't even go there with me. You know better than to come to me like that because I'm just not having it. You got to find a better way if you want to communicate with me. I went back to watching my television set. Well, there was this newscaster, and he was interviewing some man of importance on the television screen, and the man's name was in big bold letters underneath his presence. His name was there on the screen, and the man's name was Connolly. And I bust out laughing because that was her last name. And it was like, okay, this is her way of letting me know. In another way, hey, I'm here. I found that so exciting. So that was more than just a coincidence, okay? When things like that happen, that's not just coincidence, okay? So let's talk about physical manifestations. When we're awakening, we have physical manifestations. As you grow in awareness and skill, you have started to will situations and options into existence. You have started to tap into your innate hidden powers. What you put into the world becomes a part of your reality. Remember, we always talk about how we create our own reality. Be careful with this power, though, because negative energy is a lower form of energy and vibrates more slowly. This makes negative intentions take form faster and easier than positive ones. Just be careful with your intentions, as you could unwittingly set yourself back. Now, this works well with the law of attraction. What we think, we can create or call to ourselves. Thoughts are things. They take wings and can boomerang back at us. So remember, it's like throwing out a boomerang. If you want good things to manifest for you, then you should only be thinking about good things and or wishing these good things for other people, even the people you don't like. Wish for them what you would desire for yourself. Happiness, love. You know, if this is a person that's mean, evil, and grumpy, you wish that they find the peace and blessings from their creator that generates them into a better mood swing or whatever you do. But never say, I hate them. Never say, I wish this would happen to them. Oh, they need to get out. No. Because all you're doing is setting up a boomerang effect. You wish for them no more, no less than what you would wish for yourself. All right, how about an increased desire to change major aspects of your life? You're tired of dragging your feet on your way to work and want better ways to influence the world. Nothing but you is holding you where you are, but you. Look into getting a new job. Oh, boy, I have drivers at my job. Every time I turn around, they're complaining about their job. And sometimes if they're complaining close enough to me, I say, you know what? There is somebody out there that would really love to have this job. So if you're so miserable at this job, you really need to leave it, because it's not going to get better by you complaining about it, remember? It's a boomerang effect. What you throw out there at that job is what you're going to keep getting back. That which you resist will persist. You don't like this? Yeah. No, you got to stop it. Stop it. You got to think something positive. You got to find something positive to look forward to. I know I do. Starting tomorrow, I have to think of something positive to cause me to feel a sense of pleasure in going back to work, even if it's just me leaving and the drive to get there and the scenery and watching the sunset and the goodness of that part of the day, something to make me feel pleasant as I take this journey into unknown territory, because my job is unknown territory at this point. I don't know what I'm going to find there when I get there. I haven't been there in 6 months, okay? So, how about you're creating your own beliefs? That goes hand in hand with the desire to change major aspects of your life. Many self-defined spiritual people can talk to you at length for hours about spiritual beliefs of others, but when it comes to their own beliefs, there aren't actually very many of them. When you're experiencing a true spiritual awakening, sure, you might find some solace in older beliefs and systems. You might find yourself deep in meditation or yoga, But while you're there, guess what? You're coming up with your own ideas and beliefs. That's the best thing that can happen to you. Finding your own way, your own beliefs, and then sharing what you've come up with other people, and not always pulling other people's stuff. Start developing your own stuff so that you can see what it feels like for you to enact a straightforward way of carrying yourself in your own spiritual awakening. You want to create freedom also. During your spiritual awakening, one day you'll wake up, look around, and suddenly feel shackled by your home, your job, your possessions, and possibly even your relationship. Okay? Don't just leap out of bed, throw out everything, buy a van, and follow your favorite whatever across country. But think about these things in your life. I have been on this mode of thinking for years. I desire an RV, a house on wheels. That was why I had a tractor-trailer driver's license. But I wanted company. I wanted a road partner. If I found me a road partner, and it wouldn't have to be a husband or a wife, or it could have just been a road partner, okay? To be on the road day and night with me, I would have had a ball. I would not be in the apartment that I'm in now, and I would still be out there on the road, you know? You may also feel a deep draw toward personal development, you know? Where bubbly stories of a person's escape from slavery or another's return to good health from calamity used to not interest you, suddenly stories of personal development and triumph are important to you. Tell me more. What else have you done? Wow, I never knew you had that much in you to have done all of that. Wow, what an interesting life you've lived. You got to be kidding. You did that? How did you do that? How did you accomplish that? Weren't you afraid when that was going on in your life? Okay, you're drawn to these people because you're now striving for certain aspects to grow and unfold in your own life. How about a sense of growing sensitivity to the feelings of yourself and others? As your awareness and honesty grow, you are starting to unravel the enigma of your feelings and intentions. We don't always fully examine what we feel or desire out of fear. Not acknowledging our true selves and the desires therein is more dangerous than any truths we fear. As we get to know ourselves better, we start to relate and empathize more readily with others. Okay? As you go through your day, keep in mind that the feelings of others have the power to slow you down somewhat and negatively affect you. So on the one hand, we're saying you're beginning to wake up and you're beginning to feel and empathize with others, but at the same time, you have to put on that cloak of care, because when you're waking up in that way and you're an empath, you feel intensely and can fall victim if you're not careful when you're walking around and you're waking up and you're empathizing with everyone in your circle or everyone around you. You can walk in a store and all of a sudden the cloud just comes over you and you don't know why. Maybe it's because you're waking up that sensitivity and the person standing next to you is going through something and you're sensing it as an empath, okay? You will have to learn how to turn these feelings off and on as you grow in your sensitivity. The other thing, you know, you're waking up is when your emotions are felt more fully. Not only deep emotions of negativity where you anger and you get furious, but when you feel laughter and joy, okay? We all experience a wide range of emotions, but people in the midst of a spiritual awakening will feel them more fully. Spiritual people are characterized sometimes as being happy, frolicky little angels, but spiritual people do feel anger and depression, and they feel those emotions more so than most. It's not to say they don't also experience joy and satisfaction. They simply feel the full range and to a higher degree. That's right. They hurt too. The difference being, they practice imagining those feelings are placed in a box. Some of them call it a God box, and turn them over to a power greater than themselves. They know to harbor negative feelings is like drinking poison and waiting for someone outside themselves to be affected. Resentments are like drinking poison and waiting for the other to die. So, the more spiritual one becomes, the more evolved they become, they learn how to combat different emotions that may occur. Now, here's one that I speak of all the time. When you're spiritually awakening, you have a strong need to be alone. Not to say you don't like people anymore, though you are more likely to be disappointed in others. You appreciate time spent alone more than ever. Time alone doesn't have to be filled with noise, tasks, or distractions. You're comfortable with the formations within you and enjoy the time to explore and develop them. When you're in nature, you feel more connected than ever. Like I said, you don't have to go hiking up in the mountains to be in nature. You can go for a walk around the block and then come back home. That's all you need. Sometimes you can just take yourself for a car ride. Say, I'm going to the store, and take the long way there. Once you try and do some of these things, you suddenly feel so much more connected, so much more whole with the universe. It's almost as though you can feel the pulse of the planet. If you're experiencing any combination of these signs, chances are you're currently going through a spiritual awakening or transformation. It's not always easy, but you're not alone. Okay, let's check out the five stages and you determine where you are, if you can. Okay? So, I sent this out on Facebook. No, I didn't. It came to me in the mail, and I sent it to some of my bulk mailing groups. And there were these five stages of awakening. I want to get them in order. And it's amazing, but stage one and stage five were the shortest. Two, three, and four had a longer explanation. So let's get through these. Are you awakened spiritually, and if you are, what level do you feel you're on? Stage one of awakening, that's the stage of the false self. You know, subtle awareness of something more begins to grow. On stage one of awakening, we are most asleep. And we do not even know that we are asleep. We are in it, so how would you know if you're on this stage? That's just so strange. We are entrenched in mass consciousness and going through the motions of life, generally following the rules of culture and laws of the land. We don't usually question reality or seek answers beyond what is necessary for survival and maintenance of our lifestyle. Our identities define us, and we live within the construct of religion, culture, and/or society. We may even play the part of victim or perpetrator. Unconscious programming runs us, and as a result, we see the world in black and white, good and bad. We likely process a rigid model of the world according to our specific programming. Because there is a great desire to fit in and be accepted in this stage, it is common to sacrifice our needs and compromise our values in order to receive approval and be included in our desired community, be that family, culture, business, religion. Self-worth is likely conditional and attached to identity or the roles we play, or there may be other means of proving that we are worthy. Because the ego generally runs the show, we likely believe we are the ego, with little or no awareness that there is a greater part of us. In stage one, happiness is based on externals. Therefore, in order to feel happy, we try to control reality, other people, places, and experiences. Although we attempt to control our own lives for both happiness and security, it is more than likely that our emotions rule and our actions and reactions are based on our moment-to-moment feelings. We make no connection between our thoughts, beliefs, and our experiences in reality, and therefore we have no direct ability to consciously create our reality. Despite our unconscious nature, the first signs of awakening happen during this stage, a flash feeling that there is something more, or an inkling of doubt that makes us uncertain about life or reality. Wow. Know a lot of them. Matter of fact, there's a lot of teenagers that act that way. I know some adults, too. Stage two of awakening, the stage of questioning. Okay, the doubts experienced in stage one begin to turn into meaningful questions, the first signs of movement from unconsciousness to conscious are experienced. In stage two of awakening, we experience a growing discomfort in our lives. There's a feeling that something is wrong or missing. We begin to question mass consciousness and the validity of rules and beliefs and laws. Things that used to bring us comfort, like religion or traditions, are no longer satisfying, and the places that we once found answers no longer provide relief. We question our identity, but we still hold on to it because we must continue to prove our worth, and we don't yet know ourselves outside of our human identity. As we question the roles we play, we may feel lost and even betrayed by others or life in general. We may even blame religion, family, culture, government, or the world for our problems. Or maybe we blame specific people for our dysfunctions. As we shift responsibility onto others, we feel powerless over our lives, not yet realizing that in order to take back our power, we must take responsibility. In this stage, we might move from victim to survivor, but we are likely still blaming others and feeling powerless. We begin to ask, who am I? Why am I here? Although we are searching for answers, we still hold on to certain limiting the least, that keep us enslaved in the reality we have known. When we attempt to challenge these beliefs, fears bring us back, keeping us asleep a little longer. And our discomfort with reality and our search for answers, we may experience a great deal of confusion, overwhelm, anxiety, and even depression. We keep up with our lives, but we are secretly just going through the motions. As we experience a variety of challenges designed to help us wake up, tolerable discomfort turns into pain and suffering as our disempowering beliefs are demonstrated in real-life situations and relationships. We get our first glimpse of the unconscious programs running our lives, but our desire to fit in and be accepted is likely stronger than any desire to free ourselves. Although this is the beginning of our internal programs breaking down, we are still trying to prove our worth by demonstrating our importance and seeking approval for our efforts. We begin to understand that happiness cannot be found in the outside world, but we are still playing the game, seeking happiness in other people, places, and experiences. In this stage, we can be a great deal of emotional triggers. We may even experience trauma or remember past trauma. Emotions are generally very strong, and we may feel most fragile or vulnerable, but what we do not realize is that our issues are coming to the surface to be healed and released. Okay, even though we are beginning to see the world in a whole new light, we will still possess black and white thinking, maybe more than ever. We are not ready to take responsibility for our lives, and therefore we make little or no connection between our thoughts and our experiences in reality, as the outside world no longer satisfied our hunger, the journey toward or inward is about to begin. So you're not happy with the outside world. So now you're thinking, maybe I need to try this thing they call meditation. You know? So we're going to briefly say that Level three, this stage is the stage of introspection. This stage is marked with immense personal and spiritual growth, signaling the start of conscious evolution through self-discovery. Stage three, awakening, is where we begin a journey of introspection. Stage two was mostly about rebelling against the external world with little or no success by relieving that pain, that suffering, that discomfort. Now we retreat back as we begin to seek the answers from inside ourselves. We start to disentangle from the mass consciousness, releasing many limiting beliefs that are programmed into us by asleep parents, asleep teachers, asleep culture, asleep society, asleep religion, and asleep media. As we release these beliefs, we may experience both grief and relief. If we have spent a lifetime imprisoned in beliefs that caused us emotional suffering, physical hardship, and loss of happiness, we may start grieving for the life we never had because we kept ourselves stuck. When we finally recognize how asleep we have been, we also start to clearly see that most of the people we know are still asleep. We try to wake them up, but our attempts are seen as judgments. Therefore, they fall on deaf ears. Remember we said, you know, you start wanting to share stuff with people, and what they do is they say, I ain't interested. The most common attribute of stage three is loneliness. We are surrounded by billions of people, yet we feel like we are the only one awake. No one understands us, and there is no one with whom we can connect on a deeper level. At this point, we may begin to question, why did we ever embark on this journey in the first place? What's the point of waking up if we are to be alone and lonely? After all, we may have been unhappy when we were asleep, but at least we had friends. We had family. We had people who cared about us. Now there usually is no one. We may start considering to go back and secretly wish we can somehow forget everything we now know just so we can fit in again and be part of a family and community. Oh, my gosh. This is so sad because I remember when I was like in my second, third year sobriety. Thank God I lasted for 22 and a half years. But I used to think that way. The hell did I stop drinking for? You know, now I'm surrounded by nobody, with nobody but me, you know, and it was like the loneliest time of my life because I didn't feel like I had any friends because all my friends were drinkers. I mean, I didn't feel like I could hang out with my family because a lot of my family members drank, you know what I'm saying? Or I felt like when I walked into a room, people were saying, oh, she's here, we got to hide this. You know, I mean, my children drank, and so it was like, but I also knew that I could not go back. But I did secretly wish I could somehow forget everything that I knew right then and there, that I had learned up to that point. Because if I could forget it, then I could get everything back the way it was. Not so much the drinking, but the community, but the relationships, but the friends, but the laughter, but the hanging out, but the going to clubs, but the having all of that fun that I used to have, you know? So in stage three, we may experience the first real sense of power. If the ego then claims this power, we may have challenging and humbling experiences coming on our path. Thank God I never let the ego take charge of all of those thoughts that were going on in my brain. By now, we may be able to see the connection between our thoughts, beliefs, and the connection of our reality. As a result, we try to control our thoughts, only to realize it is a difficult task because old programs are still running. We no longer look outside ourselves for happiness. Nevertheless, we may not yet know how to find it within. Peace and freedom may also take precedence over happiness. Stage three is often the longest stage of all five stages and almost always the most challenging one. It is also the most important one in terms of awakening. This stage is marked by our reactions swinging between resistance and letting go, with moments of clarity and enlightenment that don't last very long. It is very common to have multiple experiences of awakening in this stage, and even to believe that each one is the final awakening, only to find ourselves back in our mundane reality only hours, days, or weeks later. With each experience of awakening, the sense of our higher self grows stronger. We are knowingly making room for this real life to emerge in our consciousness and integrate itself into our lives. In stage three, it is common to experience a fear of losing oneself. You may also struggle to maintain a sense of yourself, but ultimately, towards the end of this stage, death of your ego is inevitable. When the ego loses hold over you, there is often a realization that there is no point or purpose to life. This can be liberating, like a breath of fresh air, or it can be devastating, resulting in hopelessness and despair. Without point or purpose, we no longer know how to live our lives, and nothing is ever the same. There is a foreboding sense that awakening will cost you everything, and yet at the same time, there's a greater sense that something inside you is waking up. And I think I remember the day when I felt that sense of loss, and there was no purpose and no, and it didn't happen just once. It happens often. Well, not often, but it doesn't happen just one time and you get over it, because you're always evolving and growing. So when you reach a new level and you're moving into another stage, it's like the death of the old stage, and you reach a point where you say, oh my God, what am I doing? I mean, it's just, and so I remember that third year, I decided that I didn't need that old life, and I could take a piece. It was like my life was in pieces, but I could pick up a piece and look at it and decide whether I wanted to hold on to that or throw it away. Or pick up this piece over here, oh, I like this, and I'm going to keep this piece. Or I don't like that piece over there, I'm throwing that away. So I began to make myself and put together a new life puzzle. Okay, a new life puzzle. And I can say that that happened during my third, fourth year. But then the same thing happened in August when I went to the mountain in Malibu. I went there with a sense of loss and no longer having a purpose. And I found it in one of the workshops, a reason to come back home. So it happens, and it's not going to just happen one time, but it's a scary thing when you feel like you have no reasoning, no nothing, you know. And I've given us enough time for us to go through four, and if you want to hang with me, hang with me. If I see your phone hang up, then I know you couldn't hang with me, but let's go to the stage of awakening, four. We got four coming up. And this is the stage of resolution. Spiritual awakening is effortlessly experienced in your daily life. Stage four of awakening is the stage of resolution, where your true self has finally suppressed your ego or false self. The struggle that you experienced in the first three stages is over, and you experience a deep peace and knowing of who you really are, and you are no longer seeking answers. This is commonly known as the Eckhart Tolle stage. All your beliefs have been overhauled in the past two stages, and beliefs that remain support harmony and balance. You have mastered the art of letting go and surrendering to a higher power. You also experience and gain access to the inner power you possess without ego being in control. Doubt has been replaced with faith and trust. You are able to see and understand your life in such a way that your past and present may make sense now. You have forgiven everyone for everything, including yourself. Unconscious programming has been replaced with consciousness, and there is no emotional or mental prisons holding you captive. You take responsibility for your entire life, no longer blaming anyone for anything. Excuse me. As you have freed yourself, you have freed all the people who have ever been affected by your judgment and expectations. I have to tell you, that comes and goes, but you work at it. You no longer try to prove your worth. You know and own your intrinsic worth. And as a result, you experience unconditional self-love. Although you might still be alone on your journey, you experience a deep and profound connection to all of life, and a sense of loneliness has likely faded into all oneness. The need and desire for the old paradigm of relationships has shifted, and you no longer yearn to fit in or be normal. You allow yourself to be exactly who you are without needing an approval or acceptance from anyone. You no longer have a need to change anyone or help those you love to wake up. You are pleasantly surprised that some people you know actually are awake. All your relationships have improved, and now people who come into your life are better aligned with who you are. In this stage, you integrate your insights and develop greater understanding for the journey you have been on. You may teach, mentor, or share, but not because you feel like you have to, or because you need to, only because it brings you joy and you are guided to do so. You may have a compelling desire to support others on their journey, or you may have no inclination whatsoever. If you take the role of a teacher, a mentor, a healer, or a coach, you do not take the responsibility for others. You empower them to empower themselves. Okay, you've made peace with the realization that there is no purpose or point to life. As a result, it is easy and effortless to live in the present moment. Your love for life itself and all living beings overflows unconditionally. With gratitude and appreciation, this becomes a common state of your being. The concepts of good and bad have dissolved. Now you have the knowledge that inside, everyone and everything is simply love. You take stock of yourself, realizing that you are still you. You are free from ego control, and no authentic parts have been lost in the journey of this awakening. Your personality may be quite the same, but you are likely more easygoing and lighthearted. You have either found a livelihood that is aligned with you and who you are, or you have made peace with your present-day livelihood. You don't really think about happiness anymore because you no longer need anything to make you happy. You have realized that the secret to happiness is living in the moment, and it is now easy to be present at all times. You have learned how to master your thoughts and beliefs. Surprisingly, you may have no desire to change anything in your life, although you likely experience a full range of emotions. They no longer rule or control your choices or relationships. Your higher self is integrated into your body, and now you live your life as a real self. You are finally conscious and awake and grateful that your past asleep self had enough courage and tenacity to make this journey. It was worth it. A million times over. Okay? And stage five, which is the shortest, mind you. Stage five. What does it really mean to awaken? It is fair to say that awakening is a journey from limitation to freedom, from unconscious to conscious. Whether you intentionally chose to take this journey or an unexpected experience propels you onto the path, once you start, there is no turning back. It is true that the journey might be quite arduous at times, but no matter how long or challenging, the extraordinary destination far exceeds any bumps and bruises along the way. The end result of full awakening is freedom from personal suffering, clarity of mind, boundless joy, inner peace, and the ability to live an incredibly fulfilling life. The awakened state holds everything we have ever desired and so much more. So, where are you? And what comes next? There are 5 stages of awakening, and when you understand each stage and where you are on the journey, you can recognize the signposts along the way and the possible pitfalls to avoid. So, please use this guide that we shared with you tonight. Use it. Use it well. For we all are experiencing an awakening, and no level is any greater or better than the other levels. That's just where you are. And wherever you are, that's where you're meant to be until you allow yourself to explore more so we can straddle these levels, so to speak, okay? So remember, whatever stage you might now be experiencing, you cannot get it wrong, and there are no tests to pass. Awakening is simply a natural process. Just like a caterpillar awakens as a butterfly, a common question is, how long does it take? How long does each one of those stages take? The time we spend in each stage is not predetermined. We can move through a stage quicker and easier when we utilize a mindfulness practice of letting go. Letting go is truly the secret of awakening. As more and more people are awakening, a threshold will be reached and masses will awaken to a different paradigm and reality compared to all of us who have already awakened or who are awakening now. The stages of awakening will start mixing up and perhaps even disappear altogether. So, if we're going to change things, or things ought to change, our levels of awakening has to reach a particular critical mass, and we don't know what that critical mass is. We just have to work towards our journey of our own personal experiences and love, not project harm, not project ugliness, just know that things are the way they are because they are. Thank you for letting me share this evening. It's been great. Thank you for hanging out with me for the last couple of minutes, a little bit longer. You take care, stay blessed, and inshallah, God willing, we'll meet again first Sunday of November. And I'm sure we'll be able to. Don't forget. Remember to the 1st of November, honor the ancestors. The first day of November is El Día de los Muertos. It's the Day of the Dead. And celebrations will be around the world for that celebration. So remember, that any work you do on yourself has a huge ripple effect on all your relations and your relatives all affects. All these affect your past as well as your future. And so there you go. I got to go. Thank you for hanging with me. It's been great. Love you all. Talk to you next month. Assalamu alaikum.